fumbling at their trousers. "Wait for that! But go on and enjoy what you can." They traced her scars and the whip welts with their fingers, poked and prodded every orifice. She saw one man lick his finger after wiping it in her blood. The thought of it made her sick. The priests laughed. "Good, eh? It's blood like any other. Taste it." Several others did the same thing. Pox thought briefly of the many soldiers she had killed, the blood she had shed, but she had never tasted their blood, never seen soldiers as wantonly cruel. Yet some, she could tell, were more frightened than eager. They took no pleasure in it, their eyes downcast, their faces tense. It seemed a long time before the priests ordered the crowd back to their places. The taller priest held up an iron that had been heating in the brazier and flourished it. "Now that you carry Liart's brand, we must do worse than threaten your beauty. But if we decorate you with deep burns here..." He touched the inside of her thigh. Pain flared along her leg. "You might never ride or walk again." She could not tell how bad the burn was. Her whole leg felt afire. "There are other ways," said the shorter one conversationally. "If we show you all of them, I fear you will not be able to appreciate the artistry involved. Perhaps we should demonstrate." And he signaled to the guards. Pox did not notice where they went. Soon they were back, dragging with them a girl Pox had never seen. She looked to be in her mid-teens, someone's servant by her clothes. She was gagged and bound, her eyes wild. As soon as the tall priest ripped the gag roughly away, she screamed, "Shut up!" He slapped her face. "If you scream again, I'll..." He did not finish the threat. She choked off her cries and watched him, eyes streaming with tears. He turned to Pox. "From time to time we find our sacrifices in the streets. This girl loitered in an alley, and as we had need, we... borrowed her." As he spoke, the girl turned her head and saw Pox. Her eyes seemed to bulge from her face in panic, and she struggled wildly. One of the guards twisted her arm, and she subsided. "Now, paladin, let me offer another bargain." Pox said nothing. "You are bound to endure 5 days and nights, let us say 5 days and 4 nights now, of our master's pleasure, whatever comes. But if you will agree that our master has dominion over all, then we need not waste this girl's limbs showing you the range of our skill. If, however, you still insist that your gods, whatever you name them, are more powerful, then we must teach you your weakness through her. Did you not name Gerd, protector of the helpless, and you claim to be his paladin? Yes, but you, a paladin of that so-called protector of the helpless, you cannot save this girl from anything except by our master's name."
"Please."
The girl's voice was faint, but she looked straight into Pox's eyes.
"Don't let them..."
Pox looked away, scanning the crowd, then the priests, then the guards, and finally looking back at the girl. "No," she said steadily. "I can't."
"So," said the tall priest, "you begin to enjoy our entertainment then? You would like to see more, is that it?"
Someone in the crowd tittered. "No," said Pox again. "I take no pleasure in giving pain or seeing pain given." The girl's mouth opened again, but Pox spoke first. "I cannot forswear my gods, child. I will pray for you, that Gerd and the High Lord protect you, comfort you, and strengthen you, that the Lady of Peace..."